From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Report Card of the Faithful, based on verse 39 of the chapter, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Night of Weeping, Joyous Day. The text is Psalm 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. A moment under our Father's anger seems very long, and yet it is but a moment after all. If we grieve his spirit, we cannot look for his smile. But he is a God ready to pardon, and he soon puts aside all remembrance of our faults. When we faint and are ready to die because of his frown, his favor puts new life into us. This verse has another note of the semiquaver kind. Our weeping night soon turns into joyous day. Brevity is the mark of mercy in the hour of the chastisement of believers. The Lord loves not to use the rod on his chosen. He gives a blow or two, and all is over. Yea, and the life and the joy which follow the anger and the weeping more than make amends for the salutary sorrow. Come, my heart, begin thy hallelujahs. Weep not all through the night, but wipe thine eyes in anticipation of the morning. These tears are dews which mean us as much good as the sunbeams of the morrow. Tears clear the eyes for the sight of God in his grace, and make the vision of his favor more precious. A night of sorrow supplies those shades of the pictures by which the highlights are brought out with distinctness. All is well.
Tears are ending flow.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In these studies in Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns has now come to verse 39, which says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith." That which characterized all the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11, whether named or not, may be summed up in the constantly recurring phrase, "by faith." As the progress of school children is indicated in their report cards, so the spiritual condition of Christians in every age is marked by clearly identifiable attributes. The very first and indispensable characteristic of true Christians is that they are a saved people, born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message called The Report Card of the Faithful.
Turning again to the last two verses of Hebrews chapter 11, reading only verse 39 and verse 40, but concentrating in the beginning of verse 39 for today's study. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. At the beginning of verse 39, there is a statement that all these obtained a good report through faith. I want us today just to isolate that part of the reading and pay particular attention to it. All these obtained a good report through faith. Every parent will know that report card time is unwelcome in most homes. Many are the excuses. Great is the mental agility, the storytelling. Charles Dickens, Agatha Christie, and all the other spinners of tales would have nothing on many of your children when it comes to the stories they can concoct at report card time. Explanation, evasion, and of course promise of better things to come. I see a few guilty looks around here. Not only of those who are now in school, but some who have got out of school. And maybe if all the truth were told, they would have to go back to about the third grade. So I have stood on a few toes already. I'll say nothing about my record in that area. But you know, it's not only the children who are compiling a report card. We all are. This one, not with grades of human merit, human achievement, effort, and ability, but one compiled in the presence of God. And indeed, as far as God's people are concerned, by the grace of God, written in the ink of the Redeemer's shed blood, a report of faith in Christ, and faithfulness to Christ. That's what the words of this text really are all about. Four times in this chapter, there is a reference, and the word in the original is the same verb in every case. There are four references to this matter of obtaining a good report. You'll find in verse 2, through faith, the elders obtained a good report. In verse 4, we find that Abel, by faith, obtained witness that he was righteous before God. Verse 5, we find that Enoch, before his translation, had this testimony. And again, as I say, it's the same structure, the same word in the original scriptures. He had this testimony, he had this report that he pleased God. And then the words of our text, summing up all the heroes of faith, these all having obtained a good report through faith. Now, I think that you'd understand immediately from that the Holy Spirit wants us to grasp the fact that faith in Christ bears a report. I think it should be stated that in all these four cases, the original language comes rather awkwardly into English. Literally, it means in every case, they were borne witness to through faith. The emphasis that the Spirit of God is making all through this chapter is that these people had a faith in Christ a faith by which then they lived and indeed died and were troubled and were triumphant. Through faith in every circumstance of life, they had their eyes upon God through his word and ultimately in the person of his son. And that faith bore a specific, clear, and very important witness to these people. So today I want us to think very, very simply on the report card of the faithful. What faith actually says about the people who live by faith and whose trust is solely in Jesus Christ. The first thing it says is that they are a saved people. When you go down Hebrews chapter 11, you will find that there is an emphasis upon people in a vital, saving relationship with God. This is not some general faith. This is not merely a faith in historic fact, although undoubtedly it took that in. This is not a faith of that says these people were merely religious up to their light. No, it is a faith that says these people were sinners who were saved by grace. The note is set right at the beginning of the chapter in the first isolated instance of faith working in an individual life. The emphasis first then is upon Abel. And we read there that he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he was borne witness to that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. The emphasis and the stress then from the beginning of the chapter is one upon salvation through the blood of the sacrifice received through faith in Christ. Faith witnesses, first of all, these people are saved people. Saved not by their works, saved not by their effort. We read here of people who suffered greatly, but they were not saved by their suffering. We read of people who gave their bodies to be sawn asunder, gave their bodies, as we saw, to be stretched like the skin of a drum on a drum head. And as they were stretched, they were beaten to death because of the name of the God that they served. But they were not saved by their martyrdom. Here are people who gave up their money, who gave up their position. Moses turned his back upon all the treasures and pleasures of Egypt. But Moses was not saved by the giving up of pleasure and treasure. The scripture emphasis here throughout this chapter is that these all were sinners who couldn't save themselves by martyrdom or by suffering or by praying or by giving or by doing, but they were saved by free grace through the merits of the blood of Christ's atonement received by faith alone. I wonder today, as you stand before God, the God who will require that which is past, the God who will bring every work into judgment, the God with whom you have to do, understand the force of those words, not the God whom you may meet, not the God whom possibly you will have to stand before, but the God so often obliterated from men's thinking, so often put behind your back, whose voice is so often stilled and quelled by the wickedness of the human heart, the God with whom you have to do. As you stand before that God today, I wonder, is there first a testimony born to you? This is a saved man. This is a saved woman. This is a young person saved by grace on the merit of the blood atonement. And that person is trusting none but Christ. Have you that testimony before God? Nothing else will be a testimony that saves. There is no rejoicing in heaven over most of the things that men rejoice in. Do you ever notice that in the 15th chapter of Luke? The Lord Jesus says there's rejoicing in heaven over the sinner who was lost and is found. There is joy among the inhabitants of glory over every poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner who comes by faith to trust Jesus Christ. And what rejoicing? Now on earth there's rejoicing when men make it big. There's rejoicing over the efforts of the flesh. There's rejoicing over the achievements of the flesh. And men think they are something when they have done some great thing in the eyes of the world. But if heaven could weep, it surely would weep over foolish men and women who are rejoicing over the baubles of time, while their soul is suspended by nothing stronger than a strand of a spider's web over the chasm of eternal hell. The only testimony that matters is the testimony of a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Many are proud of their church, of their religion, of their baptism, of their heritage. I am this, I am that. I am a Presbyterian. Now, you may not have progressed that far yet. But what does it matter? If you could look into hell today, there'd be Presbyterians in hell. And there'd be Baptists right beside them. And there'd be Church of Christ beside them, and Methodists beside them, and Roman Catholics beside them. And on earth they were all so full of what church they had, how they were baptized. But they had no saving faith in Jesus Christ. The first and all important entry that you should make sure is marked against your name in the sight of God is this: man or woman or young person is saved. Are you saved today? If you're not saved today, let me ask you, will you by simple faith look away to Christ? Will you give up this holding on to self and sin, the world and its pleasures and its treasures, the religion of the flesh and its works and its self-righteousness? Will you turn away from the things that blind you and bind you? Today, will you take your stand at the foot of the old rugged cross and say, I have no hope save in Christ? I have no trust but in the Lamb of God. I stake no claim to heaven except through the merits of His precious blood. And today, believing myself to be a sinner and believing Christ to be the Son of God and the only Savior, I ask Him to save me and keep me and bring me to glory. Will you come that way? Bless God, him that cometh, Christ will never cast out. And any sinner, be he who he may or what he may, any sinner coming that way will be immediately and eternally gloriously saved. First part of the testimony of faith, then, received people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.